Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, people who are on the replay watching this not live. So there's always a bit of time while some viewers turn up that is specifically for people on the replay. So thank you very much for tuning in. There's loads of different episodes of people asking questions. Have a look through. I'm sure there's something that'll help you. And if you can't find the thing that helps you, join me on another live broadcast, because this is the format. I've hosted a live broadcast. I've got the facility through a program called StreamYard to invite you onto the show so that you can ask your question, offer your advice, or whatever. So there we are. Hi, Joe. How are you? Lovely. Thank you for joining. Lovely. Give me a little hello or a thumbs up or something just to let me know that you're here. Lovely day again. Welcome to the Social Distance Social Club. For us to chat about all things rider confidence and interneting your job, getting an internet arm to your job in case lockdown ever happens again. And I've managed to do it. I'm willing to share my story of how I did it. I'm not an expert in any degree whatsoever, but there we are. You're watching me learn live, including this StreamYard, which I quite like. It's good. Let me know how the quality is, that we've got quality and sound. Morning, Vicky. Morning, Michelle. Lovely. So my big bugbear at the moment, shut up. That's the peacock. There we are. So my big bugbear at the moment is fake news. I think that if ever we are going to allow ourselves to be mired in inaction, it will be through fake news. A confused mind does nothing. If you've had it yourself, when you go in the supermarket, you've got too many choices, and so you always get the one that you've always got because it's a lot easier than having to analyze all the nutritional information on the backs of the tins or whatever. So a confused mind does nothing. This is a hypnosis treat. You confuse people, and then you give them an order, and chances are they'll do it. The whole fake news thing, the reason why fake news has taken off so much is because social media, Facebook and YouTube and everything else, is orientated to show you things that you're interested in. So if you put a rider confidence in, I'm hoping that I'll pop up. If you put in anything that you're interested in, I'm hoping that thing will pop up. And you've seen it where you've asked Google for a product, and before you know it, your Facebook is full of adverts for that product. It's just marketing. It's very clever marketing, and it's just the way that is, really. However, if the program is destined to show you things you're interested in, then if somebody puts on something like the Earth is flat, and someone puts that on, people share it because it's like, oh, look at this twit. And there you go. Then it started going on. Then everybody who does support that the Earth is flat starts sharing this thing and writing their own article saying that the Earth is flat. And so this fake news that the Earth is flat starts flying around, and then everybody thinks this is a load of nonsense, and they'll retweet it, or they'll poo-poo it in the comments going, what utter nonsense, and then they'll share that utter nonsense. Look at this utter nonsense, but they'll hashtag flat Earth. And nobody has put up an article saying straight away the Earth is round, because we know it's round. We know it's round. But there we are. So the only article that gets shown is the Earth is flat. And therefore, that gets seen by more people, whether for the positive or the negative, whether people like it or not. But there you go. Then suddenly Earth is flat articles start to trend. And before you know it, you've got a unbalanced amount of articles that the Earth is flat. And that's how these things get going. This is how we get into the vaccines and autism, and people saying that vaccines don't work and it's a change of nutrition or something like that. And then that goes round, but nobody has written an article recently than 18 whatever saying vaccines cure smallpox, because we know it. So it's only when people are saying, oh, 5G is causing the coronavirus, because no one's putting out an article going 5G is very good phone coverage, And there we are. This is how fake news spreads. Then you get pictures of refugees from World War II, and they're saying this was taken this morning off of Bournemouth with refugees coming in. And that goes around. And so the machine of advertising and showing stuff that you're interested in only has positive reinforcement over and over again. And before you know it, people are then not believing anything they see. So if you get somebody who does see something and puts it on, or people put, you know, genuine things on Facebook, and I've done it myself with my show reels, people are going, this is fake. It's fake. It's like crazy. So people are not believing things that are true and believing things that are true, and they're believing things that aren't true, and they're not believing things that are true. And that's the way that the machine works, and that's why you don't get balanced views. And that's how here we are in 2020 with a substantial amount of people believing that I didn't land on the moon, the earth's flat, space is fake, vaccines don't work, science is another form of religion, and all that blah. So that's been annoying me lately. I don't like fake news, and I think that if anything is going to cause us to react inappropriately to the demands of the world in this day and age, and Facebook are trying to do something about it by stopping the posts that will cause people to get hurt. So the coronavirus is caused by 5G and such like, but the whole thing is orientated towards fake news. So keep a nonce on your bonce. As soon as you see something, it is probably advisable to try and do a bit of research to see what's what, bearing in mind that you're researching on the internet, but you can usually get a fair idea of whether or not something's true or not. Certainly when a picture is there's a picture of the London Tube yesterday, absolutely packed out. Well, actually, it was just a picture of the London Tube. Whether it was yesterday or not is really quite important to the story. And I haven't checked it out, and I should have, but I didn't reshare it anyway. So there you are. I've got half a point. Always be aware with this whole fake news thing. There we go. I don't know what got me onto that. I think I was just chatting while I waited to see if anybody turned up. Hello. Hello, everybody. Oh, there we are. Lovely. Hello, 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 hello. Right. Let's see what's going on. Michelle's here. Sam's here. Sarah's here. Oh, I need to put in the invite you to talk. Everybody who's got a question, I'm just going to put the invite here. I'm just waiting for some people to turn up and waffling on about fake news. There you go. Control V. There we are. Just put that in there. I suppose I better say, if you would like to join the show and ask a question or offer isn't spelled with an A, offer advice, then click Zdez, which is Russian for here. On to the comments. Hopefully you can all see it. There we go. There we go. Lovely. Lovely. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So, something I had what's really good is myself and Zana talk about rider confidence all the time, because we've run this rider confidence course for a decade. So we quite regularly just have conversations, and we had a conversation this morning, and it's so good that I have to share it with you. So the rider confidence course, if you've been on it, it starts off with us in the classroom talking about how the brain works, where the fear and panic part of our brain resides, the way it reacts, the fact that it's only got the processing power of a 7-year-old and all that sort of stuff. And then we go out and we do a bit of nearly falling off, losing your balance, and then a bit of rearing. Then we have some lunch, and then they go back to the classroom to have the falling talk before we do the falling section. And it's just kind of just chats about falling. And when we ask how many people riding safety stirrups, when we were just initially talking about person, how many people ride in safety stirrups? 2 out of 6 people will have changed their stirrups for safety stirrups. Just 2. And the rest are kind of like, I'll just ride in what the saddle came in. Isn't that interesting? Because then we say, who's worried that when they fall off, they might get dragged? And it's 6 out of 6. So 6 out of 6 are worried that they get dragged. And 2 out of 6 have therefore gone and done something about it and got some safety stirrups. Isn't that interesting? A really simple move, 20 quid, 30 quid, 40 quid if you want the ones that are iridescent, and you would never, ever have to worry about that again. Especially as the first thing that happens when you fall off is some well-meaning busybody catches you in your moment of shock and goes, oh, you were lucky, you could have been dragged. But I just think that's fabulously interesting. Then we talk about footwear, and you've got the clumpy yard boots. Who rides in the clumpy yard boots? And just under half of the people do. Fully aware why a riding boot is designed as a riding boot, that it's not got a lot of grip so that it can come out of the stirrup and you won't get dragged. And it's just very interesting. I have no conclusion to draw from that, but I just find it absolutely remarkable. Okay, so we've got our first guest on the show. We've been joined by Shelley. Have we got a picture there? Oh, she might end a bit of problems there. Let's just see what's going on there. Can't see your picture, Shelley, so I'll just let you give you some moments to sort that out, because it's always not very good to get a guest and then say, oh, sort your internet out. Okay, so once again, if you have a question or a comment or some advice, let's just copy that again. Oh, it won't let me copy it. Will it let me copy it? It won't let me copy it. But let me show it. I don't know if you can click it on the screen there or not. But there we are. Very quick question. You don't have to come on to the... You don't have to be a guest on the show to ask Ruth's comment. Any tips on falling properly, currently nursing a broken wrist? Yes! Come on our rider confidence course, where we simply think about what we do. The instinct is to put your hands out. Don't put your hands out, because then you end up with broken wrists and broken clavicles just about all the time. But there we are. Okay, so we have been joined by Shelley, which is nice. Hello, got your internet sorted out there, Shell?
Yeah. How are you?
Lovely. Hi. Fine, thank you. How are you? Where are you? In your conservatory?
Yes. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah, my boy's 7. He was cut very, very late. But he won't come still. But on the mountain block, we've done a lot of walking. He will stand, but grooming, I can't seem to get him to stand still at all. He's busy.
Okay. Yes. Understood. However, if I was to say to you, okay, so 2 months from now, Shelley, I've got a film. I need a horse just like yours. And the scene is that the actor comes in and just grooms it a bit and then says his line, and this is worth £4,000 to you, but I can't say where he's going to be, where he's going to be standing. You would immediately start standing it anywhere and starting it to, it's worth £4,000. You start at the mountain block because that's where you can. So if the horse has already got an association that at the start of the day, oh, I get pulled over here and then, oh, I'm kind of keen to get going. And the whole thing is a repeat over and over again. So then on the days that you get frustrated, okay, so I come over here and I fidget while she tries to groom me, and then she shouts a bit, I carry on fidgeting, she throws the grooming brush on the ground and walks off and or whatever. It's always the same place, the same time, the same everything. So the odds are stacked against you because you've got a repeat behavior of how many times?
Too many.
All of them, all the times, exactly. So we, that's not the place to train. The place to train is to start off with, okay, so he's, if he's standing nicely at the mounting block, perhaps you could train there. Now, he might associate the movement of the brush with kind of like, hang on, this is fidget time. So it might be appropriate to groom him with something else, maybe the crop, maybe, or maybe you get the brush and you don't groom him, but maybe just pat him all over. So it's something with no association. It's a new exactly. And you've got your definite standstill commands. I saw a guy once who was on the films with the Pegasus. It was a black Pegasus in the Rothard the Titans films. And I've seen it before, but he was particularly good at it with these Frisians. He'd throw this wooden coloured square onto the floor. It was just a white square. And he'd throw it onto the floor and also run over and put his feet on it and just stand there. And that was a little filming trick that he'd instilled in these horses, that when the white square goes down, you stand on it. So then he could put it in any part of the film, walk off, and the horse wouldn't move. That did take years and years and years. But my point is that it's possible that you design your commands that means stand still, and you stand still here, you stand still there, you stand still. I'm just looking around my own area at the moment. So you stand still by the barbecue, and then you'll stand still by the trampoline, and then you'll stand still by the chicken shed, and then we'll go over and we'll go into the RDA, and you'll stand still by their gate, and then you'll stand still by our gate, and then you'll stand still at the bottom of that little bank. And all the time I'll be doing this patting or grooming with things that aren't associated, and gradually come round to this is where you stand still, coupled with a command. Now, I'm just thinking as I look up in the air, my command for stand still, I believe, is, I'm trying to think what I do with my hand. I think I do. Yeah, okay. I do that. I just forgot, because it's so instinctive. You forget what you do sometimes. But I've been there on a film going, and then backing away. And it's got to stand there. And then I get out of shot, and I'm never too far away, but I'm like. And if it starts to move, I go, yeah. And I've got its eye contact all the time there. And that works 99% of the time. Obviously, sometimes the horse just starts to fidget and go, but 99% of the time is enough that I could go on that job and do it 99 times before the horse is going to fidget. So then you start drawing it back, and I'd then do it in your grooming. I change my grooming place so that we've got a different perspective. But as I came back to the new grooming place or to the old grooming place, I would put all that effort in after we'd done the session. And so we can then get associated with a different time when you won't be full of your ants in your pants. Absolutely nail that to the point that all the people watching you and all your neighbors on your yard and that are standing there going, your horse is so good. Look, it's not even tied up. Treat it like you're training it for a trick, and you're going to get a lot of money for that trick. And then the last bit is to start bringing that to the beginning of the session.
All right.
Does that all make sense? Yeah.
It's looking at it from a different perspective.
It will be surprisingly quick if you go about it the wrong way, the reverse way.
Well, I'll watch the end of your show, and then I'm off up there. So.
Lovely. Excellent. Thank you very much for joining. Can you tell everyone how easy was it to join the broadcast?
Very easy.
Oh, super. That's what
thank you, Carl.
Lovely. Thanks a lot. Have a nice day. See you later.
Andrew. Bye.
Super. Did that make sense to you? If it didn't make sense to you, well, you better come on the show and tell me that you didn't understand, and then we'll go. Sorry, I can't reply to the written questions, but we'll go straight on. Sam, I'm coming to you. We'll add you into the stream. Hey, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
All right, thank you very much. What's new?
Good. Well, I just thought I'd come on because it's the first time all week we're getting ready to reopen the business. So on Monday. So it's the first time all week that I've seen you, which is a shame because in lockdown I've seen you nearly every day. So, and I've just
gosh, you must have some work on your plate.
Yeah, I've got like 27 risk assessments to write today, and but no, we're ready. We're good.
I'm honoured.
I'm going into work for 12. So yeah. Yeah, things are going really well, actually, Carl, riding-wise. I've spoken to you a few times. I suppose for people that don't know my situation, I've just done Carl's Ultimate Rider Confidence course, and, yeah, come on, absolutely leaps and bounds. And then I had a big stop because I broke my hand, and then I had some IVF treatment, and now I'm pregnant. So I had to stop riding for a while, but I'm back on now, and I took a bit of a dip in confidence, but my confidence is definitely back. Like, I don't have an ounce of anxiety about hacking anymore. The boys being absolutely brilliant out hacking. Like, we're cantering everywhere. Well, we're not actually, because the ground's gone a bit hard, but before that we were. We're doing a lot of trotting everywhere. And then they reopened my yard so that we could actually go down and use the school. So I've not done any schooling for weeks. And so I did two like dressage type sessions last week. And I was amazed at how much that's come on without me practicing.
Really? What do you mean?
So I just feel like my seat was so much securer. My like all the exercises that we did went really well. I'd planned it out in my mind. I'd obviously thought about it so much before we did it because it had been so long. I had a real clear session plan. And yeah, it just went really, really well. Canter transition traditionally for me was always quite a scary thing because I had a horse that would kind of buck, leap or bound into canter, which was always a bit scary. So I actually didn't canter him for probably about 2 years, which possibly didn't help. But so yeah, it's always been a bit of a thing for me, and it's almost like a something's gone click, and it's like my body has now realized, because I've obviously done visualization about it enough, that actually just put your outside leg back and he does it.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. So yeah, so I was really amazed actually at how much actually having time away and not doing any schooling has actually brought on my schooling.
Super. This is really exciting because this is why I'm doing these morning shows, is to try and get people to be thinking about and not necessarily believing that the lockdown is in any way to blame for a drop of confidence, drop of performance. It doesn't have to be. You can arrange things so that by the time you get on, you're in an even better position than when we got told to get off.
Yeah. I think as well, something that's really gone in from what you've said for me is, and you were just talking about it at the beginning of the show, which is why I thought I will go on and just say, because you've always say, you know, all the negative stuff. So if I go on my Instagram and just click onto, you know, the nothing screen, and it brings up a load of videos, and there's always videos on there of people falling off and stuff, and I will actually look away and change the screen now. I will not look at that stuff. Like, I will not look at any videos of people or issues with horses. I'll only watch either like a good round of show jumping or a good dressage test or head cam hunting or head cam cross country. And that's something that you've really installed in me, which has been, again, really useful from like a visualization point of view.
Mm. Yes, because that negative reinforcement, as well as being part of the algorithm. So if you've looked before, it will start suggesting videos and you find yourself looking again. But it's also in our own personalities. I've often said about the GoPros with the traffic going past, 99.99999% of the time the driver goes a bit slow and goes and we go and then the driver drives off and that's it. That's what happens. I have never ever seen that on a Facebook page. because no one loads that up. But overwhelmingly, that's what happens. If you were to say, what happens? This is what happens. The drivers slow down
99% of the time.
A bit too much, and they go, and I go, but there we go. Yes. So that's absolutely super. Is your confidence, are you ready for your business to reopen with the same confidence?
So yeah, I think that we're doing a very gentle start. So I'm a physio and I've got a physio practice. So before we closed, you know, we were seeing like 2,500 people a month, pushing to 3,000. We're opening on a complete skeleton staff, 4 days a week, reduced hours. We're only bringing in myself, my business partner, and then two of the other physios are coming back in, whereas we've got 44 in total. So, you know, we're doing a very, very phased reintroduction. We'll be all PPE'd up, as will the patients. And so, yeah, I feel like we're in a good place. Like, we've taken this week, we're given the green lights effectively on Wednesday, but we haven't opened until, we're not opening until Monday, just to give ourselves time to get ready. We've already got loads of interest. You know, it's just about risk assessing, getting the right people in who actually really need it and on in a risk group, making sure that we're protected and they're protected. So yeah, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be slow to get back to where we were, but that's fine, you know, we'll get there. So yeah, I've been quite interested about some of the social media stuff that you've been doing, and actually combining your YouTube and your Facebook. I've been doing a lot of Facebook lives, just like an exercise video once a week, which has gone down really, really well, but I haven't linked it up to my YouTube. So yeah, I'd be interested to know how you're finding StreamYard.
Yes, this has been, apart from the very first day where everyone said it's all shaky, it's all horrible, that threw my confidence a bit in it. So the next day I tried it solely on YouTube to see if it was a bandwidth thing, and everyone went, no, it's great. And then the next day I tried it solely on Facebook, and of course that meant that I then had to download it and upload it to the other platform later. And everyone said it's great. So I thought, well, I'll just try it again on both. And it's worked brilliantly ever since. I think it's absolutely super. I actually look forward to doing it every day.
Okay.
Because it's that easy. It's going off. It's going to be building my YouTube. I've neglected my YouTube. So I'm a Facebook person. I think it's something to do with my age. but I've neglected my YouTubes, and it's something that I have to get in order. And this is so easy. So easy, because I just press a button, it's going to YouTube as well.
We've never used YouTube. I've used YouTube for like internal training videos, but never externally before this lockdown.
Well, we're going to have to, because if there's a revamping of the lockdown, so as business owners, we mustn't slack off because it looks like it's getting back to normal, because it's only getting back to normal under the fact that the virus is still here, under the PPE, under all the constraints that we're going to have to work on. It's not, I suppose, I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to the audience now. It's not that the virus has gone away, it's that there are NHS intensive care beds available should you get it. So don't get it. So audience, don't be all relaxed going, oh, it's all right now, because they've said you can go to work. You can go to work under the whole PPE thing. So we're in the same boat as you. We've started individual lessons. We're constantly deciding how we can reintroduce group lessons, spraying the saddles between each person. Fortunately, A, we're outside, and B, the horses have to be 6 foot away from each other for biting and kicking. So that's always been the case. It's just toilet facilities, tea facilities, and us picking up arrows and then making sure that we wipe them with a antiviral that we've got, F10, it's used for animals, before we hand them back. Those little details. And yeah, as you say, just risk assessments all the way through. But it's possible to move forward, as you say, on a skeleton.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, taking the positives from it, like our social media presence. I've always had one of the other girls do a lot of that for me, and I've kind of taken it back myself because she's been on furlough. And actually we've got a lot more followers, we've got a lot more engagement, we've obviously pumped a lot more time into it. That's mainly, well, our Facebook and our Instagram. Facebook's the big one.
But also, honestly, doing this is just like doing a Facebook Live, but it's through StreamYard. It's boosting my YouTube anyway. So I come on and I've got a topic to talk about, just like you do on Facebook Live. And if nobody comes on, because I, like today, Saturday, I didn't know if anyone was going to come on and be a guest or not. So if I end up just saying my piece of camera and saying, look, no one's come on, so I'll see you on Monday. That's exactly what I do on Facebook Live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But this is yours and my golden opportunity because our audience is at home. This may never have happened. So we might have another, the rest of the season is going to be a phased reintroduction of some kind of normality. But this is our golden moment. And so don't stop doing your Facebook Lives. Perhaps you could even do them from in your practice. Show your PPE. Show what you've decided to do. This is what we're doing. They're waiting out in that bit there, one at a time on it.
That's exactly what we're thinking of doing today. Exactly.
Show it.
I'll
watch it because I want to know what you're doing.
This is what it's going to look like.
Yes, yes, yes.
We haven't got a waiting room. This is what I'm going to be like. This is what you're going to be like. This is our one-way system. You know, you've got to... every little bit of the journey is... We're going to do it. So do you use, to do your email campaigns, we just use MailChimp. I don't know if you use something different.
I did have AWeber for a while, but now the whole thing's built into ClickFunnels, which...
never even heard of that.
It's so each product, so my book has got its own web address and it goes to my book, tells you all about the book, and then gives you an opportunity to buy it. Then you'll have seen this when you go to buy it, there's usually another little, you can add on the hypnosis for cheap now if you get it now. You must have seen that on other,
yeah, because I did all of that
sites.
you have
yeah,
yeah.
All that. Yeah. But there we are.
I think I clicked on everything in the end.
So it's yeah, so there we go. So each product has got its own web page for itself. That automatically puts you onto the emails, which means I can then send emails directing people to these videos for free advice. And there you go, which means that when I write a new hypnosis or when my next product I think is going to be a book, I'm going to carry on talking to people, building my audience, getting the rapport, helping people, letting people know that I know what I'm talking about in terms of rider confidence, even if not in terms of digitizing your business. But I definitely know what I'm talking about with rider confidence. And when the book's ready there, they've then opted into the emails to get all my free stuff that hopefully has helped them. And then they're like, well, that was all helpful. I'm going to buy his book. So I'm thinking a year ahead.
Mm-hmm. And you found...
But it's exactly the same as MailChimp.
Have you found that a useful platform? Is that something you think I should look at, or should I stick with MailChimp? Given that we're not really selling products, we're just trying to...
Yes, no, ClickFunnels is for selling a product. There's cheaper alternatives. For anybody out there, again, talking to the audience, anyone out there, there's cheaper alternatives. The reason why I use ClickFunnels is it's the biggest, even if it's the most expensive. It's got the most features. And my tech guy has been trained at the ClickFunnels headquarters. So it just makes sense to me. I would stick with MailChimp and concentrate mostly on your social media, because I'm not at all sure how powerful a email newsletter is going to be. That it's all already descending in favor of chatbots. You go onto Facebook and there's a message comes up saying, how can we help you today? And on your website there's a little chat box. And nowadays I communicate through that. It's very rare that I will write to a company on an email. And it's very even rarer that I read the emails, and I sign up for everything. Everybody gets me. Oh, I can sign up for a free toffee. Oh, send your emails. I know, I like it. I like people doing it, but I can't remember the last time I've actually emailed a company. I go on their website and go on the chat box. I go on their Facebook groups and go on their chat. I never email a company when I've got a question.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do today is do, once we've got everything set up, is do like a walk round of exactly what you said. You know, when you come to the clinic, you'll be asked to wait in your car. We'll come out and get you when we're ready. You know, this is what we'll be dressed like. You need to fill in this question. Well, we'll ask you these questions and actually walk it through. So I could potentially, I don't know if I'm biting off more than I can chew, I could definitely do that as a Facebook Live. I could potentially look at StreamYard or do StreamYard another day. I was then going to do a video.
The StreamYard was super easy, and I can see the benefit to the YouTube. Yeah, plus you can invite people on, which you can't do on Facebook Live. They don't have to come on, but it's been good fun. It was pretty nerve-wracking at first because you don't know who's going to come on. And of course, it's public, so someone could come on and rip off all their clothes and run around going, there's not a lot I can do about it.
Because that's the other thing. Like, I'd be really comfortable doing like a physio question and answer, you know, if someone wants to come on and talk, you know, ask me about a shoulder or whatever. But then the issue that I've got and that I've been toying with is the whole patient confidentiality. I suppose if they're consenting to come on and ask a physio a question, then...
Yeah, if they want a private consultation, then they pay for that.
Yeah.
But this is help. But you being on here now is helping me. It's helping all the people watching. And so that to me is your payment. Your payment is your time and your volunteering your information to everybody.
Mm.
But if someone just wants me to sit down and spend half an hour talking with them, well, that's a private consultation, which is a different thing altogether. Yeah. But the thing about your physio place is, A, you know what you're doing, and B, they like you.
Yeah.
So
I've got very, very loyal customers, you know.
Because they like you. So this is why you need to be on doing chats. And I mean, this is quite good fun doing these interviews here, much more fun than doing a one-on-one consultation.
Mm.
And you need to keep up that sense of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they like you, and it's an added one that you also know what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely been like the thing with the tone of the lives that I've done. Like, people seem to have, you know, I've had so much feedback that it's really surprised me. And even like, you know, mum's friends in Manchester, and I live in Northampton, have been doing the yoga videos and stuff. And you think, blimey, it's actually
bigger than you think. And your personality comes through. I mean, I'm full of ums and ahs and things breaking and not being able to get the links out and going, can you tell me if this is all right? And it's so human.
Yeah.
That I think people... I think this is the new commodity. The whole thing of having a very professional, polished salesman attitude is so last century, because everybody is used to this style of chat now. And they just if you meet someone at a cocktail party, go to a party and you meet someone and say, what do you do? And they do something related to you, and you're like, Oh, right, yes, well, we must speak to you then. Just make sure that I've got your, what's your number? Oh, I can't get my phone to work. Okay, I've got you there. Let me ring you and just make sure that it's there. And all that normal human interaction is what we're now doing through the technology.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you now. Have we ever met?
Some of these videos, it's Rich, my business partner, has been filming, and like there was somewhere I was doing like a glute exercise, and he's gone for like a real close up of my bum. I'm like, hang on a minute, don't get too close to my bum. You know, and it's just like breaking it up with like bits like that, which actually, and I've had a few people say it's been like a good combination of kind of professional, but also like a bit chatty and fun. So yeah, it's definitely gone better than I thought. I thought people would get bored of it just being me all the time as well, but actually it seems to have, you know, gone okay. And I think
I'm also a bit worried with that with Facebook Lives, because if I say the bit that I've said a bit quickly, then I'm just talking, and it's like I need to get off now because I can just hear my own voice going wah, 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 wah. Now nobody seems to mind. I know it's my personal problem, but my way around this, I've shut up for most of this interview, and it's been you talking. So that's been a lovely break for me. It's kind of like, oh yeah, that's marvelous. And I think this golden opportunity is not to be dropped, because normal work has resumed. Because a lot of people are getting help from you, a lot, And it's doing your reputation in the world of good as well.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of like video assessments and online consultations as well. So, you know, it'd be like me talking to you now and you say my back hurts and me saying, right, stand up, take your top off, bend forward, bend, you know. And yeah. Actually, apart from obviously not being able to do the hands-on treatment, I've been amazed at how well they've been going and how effective I've been able to be. It's been brilliant.
We mustn't drop them. Now that things are becoming more normal, what I'd also suggest you do is now write a quick outline of exactly what you can offer my audience here. How many people are watching? 29 people are watching. So stick something in the comments, put a link to what you're doing, definitely put a link to what you're going to broadcast today about the PPE, because there's a whole bunch, every single person here has got some kind of job or business or interaction with people, and they want to know what other people are doing. So put those links in, definitely.
Yeah, I've certainly done a lot of research on PPE over the last few days, and it's really interesting because actually all of our guidelines, like with what I'll be wearing, which will be an apron, which is disposable after one use, gloves disposable after one use, a mask, which is the P2 level, so you can wear that for sessions like a morning session or an afternoon session, and then eye protection. But at that level, obviously, I'm treating patients who we've screened to make sure they're asymptomatic and they haven't come into contact with anyone with COVID and they're not in a risk group.
Yeah.
So they're appropriate to come in for, you know, they actually require treatment. It's not like they fancy a massage. They actually have an injury that if they don't come in, it's going to impact their lives.
Yeah.
But at that level of PPE, I could be treating COVID patients in hospital. Which actually doesn't seem like a huge amount of PPE. The nurses and doctors who are on intensive care and it's very poorly patients, and they're doing techniques where there are particles potentially coming out of the patient's mouth when they're coughing or if they're doing like physio on their chest and stuff. They've got higher level PPE, but the level that I'm wearing, if I was on a ward, I could treat COVID patients with that. Which is actually quite crazy to think that it doesn't seem like a huge amount of PPE, but, you know, in reality, there's not been a huge amount of NHS staff that have become poorly if they're wearing that level of PPE. So it does make you feel a lot more comfortable. I can get within 2 meters of someone if I've got that PPE, and that is perfectly safe to do and has been proven to be so. So, yeah, it's been really interesting doing all the reading, getting ready for this reopening.
Yeah.
And actually now I feel really confident about it, which was your first question. Yeah, I feel absolutely fine treating patients. I'm quite excited. So
I'm quite excited now that I've listened to you. I tell you what, I'm going to be hugely disappointed if I don't get to see your presentation about your PPE. So make sure you put the link in the comments and we'll all be there.
I'll invite you to my newsletter because apparently you don't say no.
I don't say no, but I've got to have a free toffee with it. do you put out a free something to a free bit of advice? I've got my Bolting, Bucking and Rearing PDF, little report.
Something we've never done. To be perfectly honest, Carl, I know this sounds a bit funny, but our biggest limitation to growth as a business has always been meeting demand with respect to having enough physios who, you know, are either good enough or going to be good enough. So we've never
through word of mouth.
Majority, you know, started the business 7 years, probably nearly 8 years ago, but and it was, you know, just me. Yeah, saw 7 patients in the first month, thought, sugar, what have I done? but very, very quickly it's grown. And now, you know, we've got 3 sites, we've got 44 staff, we're seeing near on 3,000 patients a month. Majority of that has come from word of mouth. Like every single month consistently, it's 45% of patients are coming from word of mouth. A lot are coming from walking or driving past because we've got quite good spots. And then website is the next thing. And all the rest kind of is a bit of nothing, really. Majority of our patients are coming in. And then, like I say, you know, we've got loyal customers who've worked with us over the long term. It's all about the relationship. So, you know, we employ people on their personalities and on their kind of nature. Are they genuinely caring? Do they actually, you know, do they really want to be a Bloomington physio? And do they really want to do the best for the patients? Like, can we see that in them? And then we do loads of training. And what that means is that the patients literally, it amazes me every single day. It amazes me how many new patients we've got coming through. Every month it's over 200 to 300 new patients. And I absolutely look at those figures and go, where are these people coming from? Surely we've exhausted Northampton. We've seen nearly 20,000 people in Northampton. There can't be many more left. But yeah, they just keep coming. So we've never had to do any effort into our marketing to engage people to come in and see us. We've done it like as a tick box, and you know, because you kind of need to have a presence. And but it's all of our social media until this point has been very much about, this is our team, this is our people, look how much fun we have. And not really about come and see us, have you got back pain, come and see us. It's been more about, you know,
allow me
for pizza and
allow me to allow me to inject the cold wind of doom. Until this point, until this point. How many YouTube followers have you got?
Oh, zero, because yeah, I've only just started.
Which brings me back to offer something free to get people to know your internet self. Most of the people I help are on the internet. I don't see any money. They don't buy anything. They've just watched the videos. They've come on. They've asked a question. They send me a lovely email, some of them saying, oh, you've transformed everything and it's absolutely marvelous. And my internet presence is growing. Well, I started paying attention to YouTube 2 months ago. I had been kind of like just putting, no, probably, yeah, maybe 4 months ago. I started getting all my old Facebook lives and downloading them to my computer, uploading them to YouTube. I put
how
a couple
do
of
you do that? You need to tell me how to do that, because I have no idea how to download a Facebook live.
Well, there's sometimes a little download button when you go on to the edit sometimes, but I found the best thing to do for Instagram videos, which you can't download, and YouTube videos, and my own Facebook, any Facebook videos, is a thing called Televisa, T-E-L-E-V-Z-R, and it, you pay for it, but it's not very much, £10 or something, and then you put in URL, the address of the video, and it will give you a choice of downloading it in HD, SD, or downloading the MP3. So as soon as you download the MP3, you can upload that to anchor.fm, and that's your podcast, in case you've noticed a podcast flying around.
It's down. What was that called again?
So I'll write it all in the comments.
Yeah, is that all right?
yeah. Televisor for downloading. I buy things. I don't bother getting things, you know, free downloading and this and that, because it's so full of adverts or worse that I just said. And then that'll allow you to do MP3, and Anchor FM is the easiest in the world podcast forum. And I'm not even taking it seriously. I'm on episode 50 on my podcast. And I'm not even taking it seriously. I'm just uploading the MP3s with a tiny little bit of editing. So there we go.
Okay, awesome. I shall look at that then.
But bear in mind,
I'm
bearing in mind that if the real world stops, your real world sounds fantastic. And until this point, everybody would have been saying, you got it made, sister.
I know, it's a bit of a...
But,
yeah. Flattened me at first, but well
let's learn. Let's be honest to our audience and tell them that we're learning, which is what I'm doing now. I'm saying it all the time. Don't know what I'm doing, but come and join me. And try and get together a program for people already in place, already with a following, so that should there be another lockdown or something else, in the agricultural world, we have foot and mouth, which closed us down not so long ago. African horse sickness is always threatening to come by. Now we've had this thing, and there was another one not so long ago. Oh, last year, there was the equine flu thing.
So
in my world, every 7 years, something hits, In the general populace, it's more like every 20 years. So back in 84, it was the whole AIDS thing, and suddenly no one could go into clubs and share drinks. And Princess Diana was shaking hands of patients in beds. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And it was a major disease with no cure. Now it's this one. So it does happen from time to time that a section of society with a foot and mouth, we can do anything with the horses. If you wanted to go jousting, you had to take wooden hobby horses and go through it. And the public were not pleased. But there we go. So it does happen from time to time. So let's get a program. Let's get our internet presence going. Offer something for free so that they know, because they won't live in Northampton as well. Once you get going, I'm talking to people in Canada. I'm talking to people I'm sending a lot of books to Australia and New Zealand. I assume the Australia is Bianca's influence. But I don't know why I'm sending loads to New Zealand. But it's what we have to do as physical businesses that will be affected. Not only do we want to survive ourselves, but we want to be able to give something of great value to people who are then stuck at home again because of the next thing that comes along.
Yeah, awesome, thank you. That is good business advice. Who knew Carl Greenwood does horses and business?
Yeah, well, this is just my story. I'm sure business gurus who know as much about it could possibly tell you more. Don't forget to put your link in, any information, and we all want to see your PPE thing, I'm sure.
Cool.
Okay, then. See you Brilliant. Later. Thanks Take for coming.
Care. Bye. Bye.
That was brilliant. That was so good. Okay, thank you everybody for joining us. We went a bit off horses that time. I said a couple of things about horses to start off with. So I hope you find that as interesting as I have. And drop a bit in the comments. Share this to anybody you know who it might help. And tomorrow's Sunday. I'll see you all on Monday. Thanks for listening.